Amen. Kingdom kids can go, and those helping. Oh, I love singing songs, don't you? Who likes singing songs to God? Amen. Well, we said that it says, all the earth shall shout your praise. I didn't hear many people shouting, though. I shouted. Anyone else shout? Okay, all right. We've got a couple woohoo people over here. All right, we should shout. We shouldn't be scared. We shouldn't hold it back. I like to shout. Oh, it's good stuff. So we are in 2021, aren't we? I saw a thing earlier this week. I think it was on Thursday, like around the 7th or something like that. It says, okay, I've gone through my first 7 days of 2021, and I would like to cancel my subscription. That was pretty funny. That was pretty funny. It's been a week, hasn't it? We started last week as a denomination from our national office. We had the encouragement to be part of the 40 days of prayer that they've put out. And so if you have not gone on the website, the national website, cmalliance.com, and clicked on the 40 days of prayer, I would encourage you to do that. Each week, we are taking a different topic as a denomination and spending time in prayer on those different topics. And so I want to encourage you to do that. They send devotions. They send opportunities for prayer, many other things. And I love the fact that we as Alliance churches are doing this together. We talk about doing things together as this church, and then in this opportunity we have, we get to do it together as a whole denomination. So I want to encourage you to do that if you haven't done that yet. Who's done that? Who did that this past week? Awesome. This isn't to find out who's better or who hasn't done something. But I just encourage you to do it. It's great. Just cmalliance.com and click on 40 Days of Prayer. It's right there on the front, and get signed up for that. Last week was the first Sunday for that, and we looked at God's holiness. We spent time looking at Isaiah 6 and the holiness of God, and we see Isaiah and we see God there together. And the first thing that we looked at was the vision of God's holiness, how great God was, how is, how he, his robe filled the temple. That's some robe. We talked about just his grandeur and how awesome he is. The second thing we talked about was Isaiah's response to God's holiness and Isaiah's recognition, his looking at himself, recognizing who he was and being real about who he was, falling down before God, recognizing he was not worthy to be there in God's presence. We looked at the fact that of God's response to our unholiness. God's response was that he gave someone, he made someone to go down and make Isaiah pure because he had fallen and accepted and repented, and God made him pure, and he does the same thing for us through Jesus. And we look through the fact that our response to God's forgiveness, and as God forgives us when we call on the name of Jesus, as he forgives us, our response is that we worship him and we serve him. And so that was last week. And so if you missed last week, you can go watch that on our website. You can go listen to the podcast and encourage you to do that. But last week was God's holiness. This week, we are talking about repentance. Because when we recognize God's holiness, just as Isaiah did, he fell before the Lord to repent. Our repentance should come as well when we see God's holiness. So we're going to watch a video to introduce this, and then we will continue.
Recently, I had a Zoom meeting scheduled for 8:30 on a Saturday morning. I typically declare no alarm Saturday and get up quite a bit later than usual and move at a slower pace. So I thought, you know, I could just put on a nice shirt and stay in my pajamas for this meeting. Eventually, I chose not to do so, but I'm guessing some of you have probably done that over the last several months. And I wonder if sometimes we do something similar in our spiritual lives. The public appearance is good, but we know there are some things hidden under the surface that are not pleasing to Christ. It could be a grudge that you're holding against someone that is allowing a root of bitterness to grow up in you. It could be a secret sexual sin. It might be racial attitudes that do not reflect the love of Jesus Christ. It is even possible that there's corporate sin in your church's past that needs to be dealt with. And certainly as a nation, we have sins such as abortion that need to be confessed and turned from. Whatever it is, sin grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit. It negatively impacts the flow of God's blessing. It hinders our relationships. It keeps us from doing and being all that Jesus desires. But in His love and mercy, the Lord stands ready to forgive if we will bring our sin into His light and come clean in confession and repentance. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus' Son purifies us from all sin. In this week of prayer, allow the Holy Spirit to expose what needs to be cleaned up in your life, and then bring it under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And so we look this week at repentance. And so here today is Sunday. This is the first day of the week. And so we're going to look at repentance. We're actually going to look into Revelations chapter 2 and 3 and the letters that were sent to the churches and the different things that in each of them that God said, hey, repent from these things. But for us, this is our first day. And if you are taking part in this 40 days in prayer, then we are going to be spending this whole week looking at repentance. And so I don't want to assume that God today, He may show us today what we need to repent from, but don't think that if you didn't hear from it today, that then you're good. You're safe. It might take all week of looking at the subject of repentance before we have softened our hearts enough to receive what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And so I encourage you, be part of this repentance this week. Be part of an attitude of prayer about repentance. Because as you know, we don't get things the first time, do we? A lot of the time, it takes repetition. It takes us a while to understand and to accept. So I want to encourage you in that way. Repentance is part of our seeking to be like God who forgives us. If we want to be like Him, we have to repent from our ways and fix our eyes on Him and focus on Him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you have had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Here's the cool thing, because if we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, we are made clean, we are made whole, we are made pure, we are holy, we are forgiven. We are forgiven. Now, does that mean we stop sinning? Sin still comes. But what's cool is we are still washed white as snow, and we are not marked again by sin, because we are forgiven. That doesn't mean that we haven't done something wrong and we don't need to come to the Father and repent for what we've done wrong. But I do believe that the enemy wants to put our sin in our faith, in our face, and a lot of times wants to cause us to just stay stuck in the mud of sin. I've sinned. I can't do anything right. I can't stop sinning. How can I serve God if I keep sinning this way? What we have to remember is we are forgiven. God doesn't have to forgive us over and over and over. When Jesus went to the cross and died for us, we have accepted that as our Savior, we are forgiven. Now we need to walk in that forgiveness. And because we are forgiven, we know that when we do stumble, we can repent and fix our eyes on Jesus, and He takes us and uses us. Don't let sin keep you stuck. It's a difficult thing to do, though, to admit when we're wrong, isn't it? Eugene Peterson, in an article from Bible Gateway this past November 2019, defined repentance this way. He says, you don't repent by taking a deep breath and then feel better. You only repent when you turn around and go back or toward God. It doesn't make any difference how you feel. You can have the feeling, or you don't have to have the feeling. What's essential is that you do something. The call to repentance is not a call to feel the remorse of your sin. It's to turn away from it and to go towards God. There are a lot of things in our life that we can just recognize in our head. I know this is wrong. It may not feel wrong, but I know it is, and so I need to fix it and walk towards God. Today, what we're going to do is, I don't have 3 points. I've got 7. How's that sound? I hope you don't have a timer set for an oven. No, we're going to look at the 7 churches in Revelation. So if you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 2, and we're going to look at chapter 2 and 3. I'm not going to have you stand and us read both chapters, okay? We don't have time for that. But I am going to look at the various parts in each one that talks about repentance. So in good American fashion, we're not going to look at the good, we're only going to look at the ugly. We're only going to look at the bad and talk about the bad things today. How's that sound? That's what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on that. So the first one is this. The first church we find is the church at Ephesus. And so there, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says this. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. What do they need to repent from? What is the sin that they are stuck in? They need to repent from idolatry. They need to repent from idolatry. They have taken their eyes off of Jesus. They have lost their first love. He has faded, and other loves have popped up in its place instead. You ever have that one gift? I may have mentioned this before, but you ever have that one gift that you want for your birthday or you want for Christmas? You just want it. We just had Christmas. Did anyone get one of those gifts for Christmas? You just want it. I got it. I want it. I can't wait to get it. I got it. And now that you've got it, it's your favorite thing. I've got it. I've actually got it. It's mine. I've got it. 6 months from now, where are you at with that toy or that thing? Do you even know where it is? When I was 10th grade, I'm going to share this. Okay, here we go. This is how old I am. 10th grade, I was back in 1988. Some of you are like, that's not old. Some of you are like, wow, that's old. 1988. The thing that was cool that Christmas were Coca-Cola shirts. Anyone remember Coca-Cola shirts? It was a rugby shirt, rugby style, long sleeve with the collar, and had Coca-Cola right here. I wanted one so bad. Only all the cool kids had one, so I had to have one, right? Because I had to make myself try to feel like I was cool. And so I wanted this shirt, and I got this shirt for Christmas. I was so excited, and I wore that shirt. First day school started back up. Guess what shirt I wore? I made sure it was clean. I had to wear the Coke shirt the first day. That's what I had to wear. And then I'd wash it and I'd wear it. As soon as it was clean, I'd wear it. As soon as it was clean, I'd wear it. Somewhere along the line, I stopped wearing that shirt. And I don't even remember when and why or how I no longer have that shirt. Because over time, it just became another shirt. I think sometimes we do that with our faith in Jesus. We get used to Jesus. We get used to coming to church. We just get used to reading our Bible. And we don't have that passion that we've had before, that we've had in the past when we first came to know Jesus and remember what he did for us. And we get farther and farther from the life that he saved us from, and we forget how much he's done for us. We lose our first love. We have to keep him first and foremost. I think sometimes I like to use worship music to help draw me back to Jesus, right? And sometimes I can put worship music in, a new song. This is a cool song, new song. And am I really worshiping Jesus or am I worshiping this song? We have to be careful and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. The church at Ephesus had to repent from idolatry. And I think sometimes we think, you know, that we just, in this culture, we are bombarded with distractions all around us that would allow us to set up idols. And we're struggling with this worse than any other culture in history, but I think it's always been there. There's always been those distractions that would make us love other things other than Jesus. They need to repent from idolatry. And we say, well, I don't have that problem. I haven't set up any graven image or thing that I bow down to and worship. We don't necessarily have to physically have something that we bow down to, but how do we spend our time? The people that I love the most, I spend time with. How do we spend our time? Do we spend time with Jesus, our first love? The second church that we find is the church in Smyrna. Chapter 2, look at verse 10. And it says, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown." Here's something cool. The church of Smyrna, he gave nothing for them to repent from. Who says, "Man, I hope that's me"? Who says, "I know it's not"? How cool is that? Jesus writing to these guys, sharing, "This is what I like, this is what's good," and he doesn't find anything in them that they need to repent from. But the point of repentance is so that we would walk in holiness, right? Be holy as I am holy. Instead, they don't have repentance, but instead their holiness comes through suffering. God desires for us to be like him. God desires for us to be holy, and sometimes that comes through persecution. Sometimes that comes through suffering. And I'll say this, not all suffering comes from the enemy. Wait a minute, God wouldn't do that to me, right? God wouldn't do that to me. Sometimes that's what it takes. Holiness comes through suffering. We don't understand why, we don't understand what, but it comes along. I'll tell you this, for most of you looking at me right now, you'd say, "Man, he's walking pretty good. He came up those stairs pretty good. He went down those stairs pretty good." I don't know why God allowed me to tear my tendon in my, you know, my quadricep tendon twice this year and have surgery on it, but he did. And as well as I'm walking right now, it's still not healed. It's still not strong. I stumbled a little bit over this stool in the first service when I was preaching the first service, and I caught myself with my bad leg. I was actually pretty excited. Because last time I stumbled, I ended up with surgery again. It's getting better, but it's got a long way. As I do different things, I realize how long I still have until I'm fully restored and can do the things I used to do. There are some things I can do just fine, but there's a lot that I still cannot do. I don't want to say, "Well, the enemy caused this." Has it been suffering? Yeah, it's been suffering. Has it been suffering like others suffer? No, it's been good. But I ask God, "God, what are you doing? What do I need to do? What do I need to learn from? What are you teaching me through all of this? How do I need to learn? How through all of this do I come more like you?" Maybe it's stop depending on me and depend on him a little bit more. Oh, wait, that's another church. We'll get to that one. There's no need for repentance there in Smyrna, but suffering brings about holiness. Maybe the suffering you're going through is God bringing about holiness. You need to stop putting blame on someone who doesn't deserve the blame. Satan sometimes will bring difficulties, but other times we have to learn something. Don't just blame him and say, "I got nothing to learn." The third church we see is the church at Pergamum, chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. And it says, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." What do the church in Pergamum need to repent from? They need to repent from false teaching and sexual sin. Now I ask you this question. Who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? I'll tell you, in today's day and age, there are a lot of people to listen to, isn't there? And there's a lot of information that we can get quickly that we can listen to. Podcasts, other pastors, other people, news media, it's all over the place. Even books. We have books over here in this library that are about the Bible, and it takes a whole library to fill them up. There are some books in there that are about the Bible that are longer than the Bible. That's a lot. I don't understand that. Why do we need so many books about the Bible? Why can't we just read the Bible? I had a pastor this week ask me, what podcasts do you listen to? I used to listen to them, and I said to him, to be totally honest, I don't really listen to any podcasts very much. Because when I listen to them, especially if it was another pastor, sometimes I'd start comparing myself. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should preach like that. Maybe some of you are thinking, yeah, maybe you should. I just had to stop listening to them. It was so much. And I had to spend more time here and listening to the Holy Spirit. Now, I read books. I enjoy books. And so I do. There are books to read. And as books come across my path, I enjoy reading them. But I'd much rather read in here, because we have to be careful who we listen to. Because sometimes, over time, we might like someone enough. I like the way they say this, or I like the way they do this, that we could, over time, begin listening or following something that's not from God or not what we should be listening to. We have to repent from false teaching, sexual sin. We're going to get into that one again, but who do we listen to? The next church we see is Thyatira, verses 20 through 23. It says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds." The church of Thyatira needed to repent from the tolerating sexual sin, from false teachers, and disunity. I'm going to say this. And this is a big topic in our country today, and it's going to continue to be. Sex for marriage is between a married man and woman, and that's it. Anything outside of that scenario is sexual immorality. Period. I don't say that. God's word says that. Anything outside of that is wrong. Now, these folks were following a teaching that was wrong, and they found themselves caught up in sexual sin outside of a man and his wife. Anything else is wrong. So if you're a single person, there should not be any sexual activity taking place. But I'm also going to say this, if you're married, man and woman, if you're married, then the only sexual activity should be taking place needs between you and your spouse. Men to wife, wife to man. But I'll also say this, because I think there's a lot of marriages that don't communicate well in this area. And you need to communicate better in this area, because sex between a man and woman is not just for you, it's for the other person as well. And so if you aren't being who you need to be for the other person in this area, then there's issues there that need to be communicated about and talked about. Because I believe that there would be problems there. Because if you aren't going into it that this isn't just for me, it's also for my spouse, then over time, if you're only being selfish about it, you may fall into sin yourself, or you may cause them to fall into sin in this area. And I would say we don't talk enough about this in church. We need to. Because God doesn't tell us to refrain from sexual immorality because he wants to be mean and hold things from us. He wants us in the context that he created, because it's amazing. And anything outside of that is not just wrong, but could be harmful in many, many ways. And it could cause you to to just have pains and hurts that last a lifetime. I also say this, if this is a problem area for you, don't be silent about it. Talk with someone. Share. I would be glad to talk with someone and help anyone if there's issues here. And I'll also say this, if I were to ask right now, is this a struggle? And I would ask you to stand up, and if some of you stood up and others of you remained seated, please don't look at that person saying, well, look at them. Because you have your own sin to deal with. And I'll tell you, the attitude of, well, look at them, that's the first sin you have to deal with. We should be able to come to each other and say, this is my struggle, this is my sin. And our response should be, thank you for sharing. How can I help you? How can I love you out of that sin? But that's not how we do things, is it? We need to repent from tolerating sexual sin, false teachers, and disunity. I'm going to say this too. We've so got, because the subject of homosexuality is so much out there and in our face, and we would, as a church, say that is not God's way, it is sin, that I think that we have forgotten and allowed men and women to live together before marriage and to have sex, and we've kind of glossed over that. And we can't do that. It's still sin. When I do premarital counseling, it's one of the first questions I ask. Are you guys involved in premarital sex? And if you are, it needs to stop right now. Not just because it's a sin, but because it waiting for that day makes it that much better and that much more special. Amen. The next church is the church of Sardis, chapter 3, verse 3. It says, remember therefore what you have received and heard, hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. They need to repent from their dead faith and their lack of deeds. This is what they need to repent from. In there, also, if you take time to read that, there's a word in there that I appreciate, and it's the word unfinished. It says that their deeds were unfinished. Unfinished is our theme for our Family Festival of Nations this year. It's what the whole alliance is looking at for Missions Conference. Unfinished. Do you ever think that there's a sin of unfinished? When I read this was not something that I had necessarily thought of for myself. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what are the things that God has said to me that I am supposed to do that I have left unfinished? There were things that came to mind. I got stuff to do. That did not feel good. There's been different things that God has told me over the years to do that I either started doing at one point and then stopped or just never did. Need to repent from their dead faith. It just becomes routine. It just becomes rote. It just becomes what you do. Well, it's Sunday, so we just go to church. What deeds have we left unfinished that God's calling us to finish, that God's calling us to do? And that might be personally, but that might also be corporately as a church. Next church, Church of Philadelphia. Again, a church that did not need repentance, but holiness comes through suffering. Chapter 3, verse 10 says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of this earth. So cool. Again, a good thing. We can have some encouragement to know that here's another church that did not need to repent, but needed was instead being encouraged to keep going as they were going. In that, I would say, God has a plan, and we need to learn to ask, Lord, what are you doing? When suffering comes or hard times come, we don't just blame the enemy. We ask, Lord, what are you doing? The last church we see here is the Church of Laodicea. chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, and then the last verse, verse 19. And it says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold, hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. I love this verse because what we learn from this is love is not just about good feelings and being accepted. Love is also about discipline. God loves those. God disciplines those he loves. Again, if hard times come, don't automatically blame the enemy. Say, God, what are you doing? Maybe I need discipline in my life. Maybe you're doing this because you have something for me. I would say for me, when I look at all of this, maybe we're unfinished like the Church of Sardis, but maybe we're a lot more like Laodicea as an American church in that we are lukewarm. And we need to repent from self-sufficiency. We need to repent from materialism. We need to repent from having a lukewarm faith. That's what we need to do. I think it's hard for us because we have finances. We can take care of ourselves. If we need this, we can do it. I think we walk around with little to no faith in God because we can supply our own. Does that make sense? How much do we truly depend on God and what he wants to bless us with and what he wants to give us because I can just get it on my own? What do we need to repent from? There are many, many things that we've mentioned here this morning, and there's even more out there. We could have pulled up scripture verse after scripture verse and talked about the various things that God considers sin that we need to repent from. My question is this, did these churches know their need for repentance? Did they already see ahead of time the things that God was going to bring up, that God was going to mention to them? Maybe they did. Maybe when Jesus said these things, maybe it was the first time their eyes had been opened to those sins. Sometimes we choose to be blind to our sin. Sometimes we don't even realize we've been blind to our sin. And we need to ask God, God, show us where I'm blind. Show me where I'm blind. When I think about Christianity throughout history, and we even go back to the Jewish people, God's chosen people, when Jesus came as the Messiah, they were blind to the fact that he was the Messiah. When I think about the Crusades, I don't even know what was going on there. But to me, there was blindness in Christians back during the Crusades. I don't understand that. Why would we kill someone because they don't accept Jesus? When I think about slavery and Christian owners and how they treated property, these were people that God loved and made. And Christians were blind to the sin. What are we blind from today? Whether we choose blindness or whether we don't see it, are we asking God to open our eyes to the sin that we don't see? We have a lot going on in our country right now, and I'm not saying who's right, what's wrong. There's a lot of differences out there. Are we asking God to reveal a blind spot that we might have? Or are we arrogant enough to say, I got it all figured out? Because if that's one thing by reading about these churches this week, that I can never say, I can never be so arrogant to say, I've got it all figured out. Because there's no way I can see God's full picture. Only he can. Acts chapter 3, verses 18 and 19 says this, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that this, his Messiah, would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Why do we repent? Who wants times of refreshing? I do. But repenting's hard, isn't it? C.S. Lewis said this. This is one of my favorite quotes of his. He says, I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port would do that. If you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. Repentance is hard because we have to lay down our pride to do it. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. We're going to close out with a song and some scriptures. I'm going to ask you this. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Is there something that you need to repent from? Do you need to be honest and say, God, do I have a blind spot? Are you strong enough to say, God, reveal my blind spot so that I can be more holy? Guys, today's the first day of this week on repentance. Maybe God shows you something today, but please don't walk out of here saying, that was good, I'm done. Let's spend a week with a heart of repentance. Father, we love you. We thank you that you are holy and that you call us to be part of your holiness. Thank you that you made a way through Jesus so that we can do that. Father, open our hearts, our ears, our minds to hear from you and give us strength to repent. Thank you, Jesus.